Welcome to the Red Half of Sheffield. This is a Sheffield United podcast by two American Blades fans. My name is Noah Snyder, and I am joined, as always, by Chad Jarvis. And here we are, Chad, finally rolling on to the end of the season. I can't believe it's not over yet. How has the season just dragged its ass for so long, it feels like? I mean, maybe it's because we're losing every week, or, you know, not winning, I should say. But yeah, this has sucked.
Yeah, especially with the time of recording, I think the championship's got a little over 2 weeks left of their season. I know they finish up. They finished up, or the final day is the day after my wedding, so that's going to be dreadful to get up at 7:30 in the morning, half hungover, watching that. But yeah, it just feels like this season's taking forever and ever and ever to get over. And it's just like, stop, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, we know we're going to get relegated. And yeah, it's just like, it's like I looked at the calendar the other day and we still got 6 games left.
I know.
6 games. What the hell? I'm not up for it. I mean, I guess it goes faster in the championship because we're playing Tuesday, Saturday, or vice versa, almost every single match week. Yeah. So I guess it makes it feel like it goes by quicker, and plus I think we end up closing the season 2 or 3 weeks earlier than the Premier League because, you know, they take – granted, they take playoffs into account and all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. The season that never ends, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. I mean, I've wanted the season to be over for maybe like 2 months now, probably since January. I just don't know. Here's the thing. Like, I don't feel like we're going to be even learning a lot, you know, the rest of the way, because half the squad isn't going to even be here next year. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you give the kids a run out and see what they can do. We'll talk about the shocker that Blaster had in this match. Yeah, he was not very good against Brentford. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, and then, you know, last week it comes out that we're in violation of EFL rules and we're going to start next season off with a 2-point deduction. So, you know, we'll be rooted to the bottom of the table to start next season as well. That's good times right there.
Yeah. I guess it's not the cool thing to do anymore because everybody and their brothers seems to be getting points deductions. If Leicester doesn't go up, they'll be, well, I think regardless if they go up, they'll start on minus points. But yeah, if Leicester don't go up, they'll join us at the bottom rooted with minus points. But I mean,
here's what I don't understand. Okay. All right. Why aren't the points being taken from this season? That's my first question. Okay.
Yeah.
Because this is due to last season. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose it's because it's the EFL. Okay. I kind of understand that. But secondly, why are we getting a 2-point deduction when we already had a transfer ban, like an embargo?
Yeah, you would have thought they would have did that. See, that would have made sense. And I guess they got to do their rulings and all that bull. But you would have thought it would have made sense to just knock us 2 points when we were under the embargo. Yeah. Or something like that, you know, something along the lines. And then there's a further 2 points that could be deducted and all the legal jargon and all that bull. Just, I don't know. I understand, you know, the more we peel back the onion, it's seeming like we've been dealing with a owner that doesn't have any money and we can't afford to pay anybody. But the whole thing is, I think the guys on Blades Pod and Tufty Club, who thank God did a podcast for the first time in like 10 years, finally. I think they said like they're for payments of like the last time we were in the the like Brewster and Anell, and you know, we haven't bought that many players and brought that many players in. Are we going to be like, due to another subsequent point deduction in a couple years, because the fee we got for Sandy Barge wasn't enough to pay for Hamer, so now we can't afford to pay? Like, what the? I don't know, man. It's a bunch of bullshit, and it's coming out that are we getting fleeced by the owner?
I mean, what? Yeah, at this point, nothing's going to happen for us until we can get a new owner in. I mean, we've said that for over a year. We said that before we got promoted, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, he's done a decent job in ensuring that we were competitive in the championship for a few years, or for a couple of years. And, you know, we got up, you know, on the backs of great play from Illman and Jaya and good loan players, but we're not going to get another generational talent like Illman and Jaya probably for a while, you know, at least not a homegrown one. Or I should say that's the only way we're going to get it. And those sort of generational talents don't really come along that often, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I say generational talent, I mean, you know, for a club like Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Illman and Jaya is going to be, you know, the best number 10, you know, of this generation or whatever. But I mean, if his record at Marseille says anything, he's clearly not. But you know, good, really good as far as United standards are concerned, that type of player isn't going to come around that often, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows, maybe our blaster will be unbelievable at championship level and will just kind of grow into, you know, I don't know, the mid, you know, he's not really an attacking midfielder. He's more of a box to box midfielder, but mm-hmm. you know, but he'll grow into an amazing player, someone that we can build a team around. But I still don't think that that's going to be enough to get us out of the championship. Ultimately, if we want to get to that next level, which is staying power in the Premier League, we are going to need a new owner to come in.
Yeah. Something, no kidding. Yeah.
And I don't see that happening. I mean, I really don't. I just see us kind of middling about in the championship. You know, we're not going to be, I don't think we're going to be bad enough to go down again.
I really think we are. I think I'm going to put, starting in this summer, I'm going to put $5 on us to go down. I don't think this team's anywhere competitive next year. I think they're with the minus two, we may finish. I've got us nailed for 15th, but if a couple of injuries, and you know, we're not going to sign many players, we're going to have to rely on free transfers and players that want to take a little bit of money. You know, maybe we're going to have to sell Hamer and Anel Ahmed Hodzic and players that we still have under contract to try and generate some cash flow to get some players, or else we're going to be screwed.
Yeah, I think if we sell assets, we'll have some money to spend on a few players. I don't think we're going to be bringing in anybody that's going to be a world beater, but I do think that we will have enough to A, stay up in the championship. But B, maybe be a little bit, well, definitively more competitive than we were this year. I still don't really see us finishing in a playoff spot unless, you know, unless something drastic happens, you know.
I just can't see us right now. That's why I'm being so bleak for us right now, because I just don't know what the team is going to look like through, you know, waiting through all the way through summer and then waiting 4 days before the season starts and bringing in a haul of players, because I know that's what we're going to do. We're not going to sign anybody the entire summer. We're just going to wait to bring players in and then be like, oh, we'll cobble this hunk of shit together and hopefully it'll limp us through 46 games next year. That's why I'm so pessimistic right now in saying I can't
see right now.
Well, going into next year, but I'm saying I'm just saying, with assessing the team right now, I don't see us finishing higher than 15th.
Yeah. Again, I'm a little bit more optimistic than that. I just don't think we're going to finish. I don't think we'll finish in a playoff spot.
Or we could be bang average and be slap dab 12th in the middle, right here.
Yep. The Millwall spot.
It will be we'll be like a perfect example this year. Sunderland, they've been playing for about a month and a half and haven't played. They're going to finish 13th. They're not going to go to 14th. They're not going to go to 12th. They're going to stay right in 13th. And they haven't played for a meaningful game in about a month and a half.
Yeah. Yep. Any other thoughts about the points deduction? I mean, you know, like, I guess I'll just sum it up. I mean, between Brewster, Anel, I think Connor Horahan, was it Robin Olsen? There was one other lone player that allegedly we didn't pay something that was owed.
Probably. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. But the whole thing is it's going to be a swift kick to the balls when we miss out on automatic promotion by 2 points next year. Or we miss out on the playoffs by 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I don't understand, what I do not understand is the people who are coming out and saying this isn't that big of a deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Not being able to pay your bills means in the future, you might not get the opportunities at transfers because rather than, you know, taking potential money from United, they're going to take guaranteed money from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And that is a shambles.
Yeah, this is it's like a black eye, you know, because, you know, regardless, players are going to still come to us next year, but, you know, it could be a couple of years down the road if we're in the Premier League. Like, remember, these guys had a points deduction. I mean, I can tell you, certainly looking at Forest and Everton, I doubt players want to go there right now, considering their situation they're in. If both of those teams are able to stay up, do you want to tie yourself to a team that, you know, could be further sanctioned to points deductions? We don't know. You don't know what's going to happen with them. I mean, it's almost like a black eye right now.
Yeah, and it's really concerning if we're, you know, going to want to be doing business. Like, clubs are simply going to look at United and say we're not dealing with them because if they work out a payment plan, you know, they might not pay it.
Yeah.
They might not pay their bills.
Exactly.
And, you know, additionally, creditors are going to look at that as well. And, you know, we always take out loans. We've mortgaged, I think even already probably we've mortgaged some of the parachute payment money that we're going to be getting. I mean, obviously, like, we're not down yet, but I have to believe that we're going to have mortgaged some of that money. In order to get it up front, you know?
Yeah.
Because you get the 2 years, right? You get 2 years of payments after drop, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Three if you stay up for 2 years, but 2 years at a minimum. And I guarantee you, without new owners, the Prince will mortgage the money from the second year, put it up front into that first year in order to try to get us back up. But I don't think it'll make that much of a difference because we'll probably not have anyone dealing with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be huge ramifications coming down the line. You know, we don't know, you know, this is just the surface.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
3 years from now, when we've been deducted 40 points and we're in League Two, on the verge of going into administration, when everybody was like, "Oh, it's just a small 2 point deduction," then it turns mountain turns into or a molehill turns into a mountain. You know, we could be up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the whole situation is just really, really frustrating. But I also don't think we're going to be the only club in this situation. You know, as the finances for football get more and more sort of convoluted and, you know, grow. I mean, the thing is, just like with all economics, you know, you cannot have unfettered growth without consequences.
Exactly.
And look, I'm happy that there's finally going to be
potentially an independent or government regulator for football in England, or I should say in the UK, because I think it's needed. You know, it's needed to ensure that clubs aren't going out of business, that we don't see more berries, you know, that we don't see, more clubs basically on the verge of going out of business.
Yeah, Bolton, Wigan, Reading, Macclesfield,
Oldham,
Southend United. Yeah, Oldham. I mean, hell, look at the shit show Leicester will be in next year if they don't get promoted this year. They'll have to sell everybody off. They'll be down there with us.
Yeah.
Because they're basically a Premier League team on Premier League wages in the Championship. They can't go more than one season without getting promoted, or the sustainability of that won't be able to happen.
Yeah.
So they have to get over the line.
Yeah, that it'll be really interesting the next 3 weeks. I'm very, very interested to see who goes up automatically.
Yep.
And you know, I think Southampton won again today.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like in the mix. I mean, they have to win out and a couple of fucky things have to happen, you know, as far as Leeds and Ipswich are concerned and Leicester are concerned, in order to see them slot into the one of the automatic places. But it's not out of the realm of possibility at this juncture.
No, the one saving grace, and you always want points on the board instead of games in hand. Leicester got a game in hand. Southampton do as well. Southampton can pull level with Leeds, although the goal difference is crazy. But Leicester, that could be their saving grace, having the game in hand come the end of the season here. Man, yep. What a division! What a fun division that would have been in this year.
Yep, at the top and at the bottom, you know, it is far and away the best league in the world, in my humble opinion. It's the most fun league in the world.
So fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the bottom it's going to be fascinating too, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is I think Birmingham and Huddersfield have to play each other.
Yeah, they do.
So one of those teams is going to be, you know, they'll either split the points or one of them will get 3 points, so that'll make it that much harder for the Pigs.
Man, you know. They're definitely. Ooh, man. Ooh. Yeah, that's gonna be tight as a net.
Pigs are gonna have to win out, you know. I think. Ooh.
I mean, they got Blackburn, West Brom, and then they have Sunderland on away from home on the last day.
Yeah.
So that might save them if they get, because they'll lose to West Brom, because West Brom's going for the. They're comfortably in the playoffs. But West Brom want to. They really can't impede anything for improve anything in their seeding. Oh boy, it's so tight down there, man.
Tighter than a gnat's ass, as you put it.
Mm-hmm. Golly, I can't wait to be back there next year. It's gonna be so fun.
It'll be fun.
So fun.
As Johnny says, it'll be funderful.
Yes, it'll be funderful. Yes, yes.
All right, so let's just briefly touch on our draw against Chelsea. Really good game. I mean, probably like one of the most fun games that we've played this season. And for stretches, you know, we looked pretty good. I mean, it was a poor goal to concede in the 11th minute. You know, it was a Conor Gallagher cross that Thiago Silva just puts into the lower right-hand corner. Or I'm sorry, lower left-hand corner. Yeah.
I will say this. Chelsea are a bag of ass. They are an absolute bag of ass. To make us look halfway decent in a game really says something about how we got Man United in a week from today of recording. And if their asshole podcasters don't respond to any of my DMs, I am going to block every one of those pieces of shit. The same with the assholes for Chelsea and the most arrogant fucks I've ever dealt with. But I really think we're going to beat Manchester United. Manchester United is just as ass as fucking Chelsea are.
Yeah. I mean, we might be able to get maybe a point.
I think we're going to fucking beat them because we should have beat fucking Chelsea.
We should have. United's first goal came in the 32nd minute. Really, really nice from Gustavo Hamer, through to Jaden Bogle. I think was it Ben Brereton Diaz wide open? Decides to go himself and, just goes into the back of the net. It was a decent shot there from Jaden Bogle. And, it's disappointing that which we'll get to in a little bit, but we've probably seen the last of Jaden Bogle in a United shirt. But
yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Yeah, Chelsea's second goal, it ended up coming, when was that? Their second goal came in the 66th minute. Really nice pass from Palmer to Majuk. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people were blaming Gerbich for this. A lot of people.
Garbage.
Do you think he should have made that save?
Yeah, I think he sucks. I just think he flat out sucks. It's a shame that Wes lost a spot to this piece of junk.
Do you think he'll be better in the championship? Do you think
we signed this moron, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
good,
he's not alone.
God, what in the hell? That's why this whole team needs to clear out, because Chris Wilder has no fucking idea what he's talking about.
I think it was a matter, and they said this on, I can't remember if they said it on Blades Pod, but I think it was just a matter of Wes is going to be out of contract. Oh, there's this keeper from Spain. Well, he's not from Spain, but there's this keeper playing in Spain. He's a second. Get him in. He has Champions League experience. Get him in.
Yeah, no. Fuck no. I would have been like, nope. Send him back, but now we're screwed. Well, yeah.
But Chad, he's so tall.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, Wes is tall too. I don't understand what the hell Wes did wrong to earn him to put this freaking moron in.
I don't think I think what he did wrong was, not signing a new contract. I think a contract was probably offered to Wes.
That's enough to lose your starting gig at Sheffield United. Cool deal. Yeah, and then I probably would say, we haven't been on the side of hammerings in the second half of the season. His save percentage has to be way less than Wesley's.
Oh, yeah. I think he's far and away the worst keeper in the league right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, that's why we're doomed. We're doomed for the next year until they finally wise up and they're not going to and sack fucking Wilder.
I don't know if this was necessarily a Wilder decision. I think it was just, we've got this keeper, get him in, like they said on Blades Pod,
I don't know. We're gonna concede a lot of fucking goals next year then.
Well, maybe we get the Rovrum keeper in. Who knows?
With what money? Are we gonna dump it all into the McBurney tank and then sell ourselves short?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Look, so there's a few contracts that are gonna be off the books come next year. I don't think it'll make up enough for, any decent transfers, but at least we'll be able to pay some wages, I mean, I haven't really looked at the dirt sheets recently to see what we're paying each player. But
could you see McBurney giving us a hometown discount or just being like, all right, fuckers, I'm going to rake you over a hot bed of coals here. You either give me this or I'm gone. Sheffield United would be like, you're gone.
Yeah, I think he'll easily sign for like Rangers or maybe another Scottish club.
Yeah.
Hearts is the other one that I think, no. Hibs was the other one that he was linked with, but I don't know why he would I think he's a fan of Rangers. I think he supports Rangers. So I don't know why he'd go to Hibs, because from my understanding, Hibs and Celtic are more sort of aligned, and then it's Hearts and Rangers are more like politically aligned, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Huh. But I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see come the summer. Who knows? If he resigns, great. If not, you know, we're definitely going to need a new striker because no Ben Brereton Diaz next season, no Cameron Archer next season. Mm-mm. You know, we'll be left with basically Asula and Brewster. And if Jebison decides to stay, I don't know what's going on with him.
That shit's gone too long. Just let him go. Just let him go. Shit's gone. That's like a soap opera. Just let him
He's supposed to be. Well, he's gone in the summer anyway. If he doesn't re-sign, I don't think based on his lack of playing, even at the under 23 level, he's not played. So
Just let him go. Just let him go. Let him go. Let him be a flop.
Yep. Anyway, the leveler came in the Chelsea game in the 93rd minute. Really, really nice little headed on ball from Archer, and McBurney just taps it in the bottom left corner. Phenomenal way to, you know, dig deep and come back there at the death. You know, we're kind of going for it there. And at the end, you know, you felt like if stoppage time had dragged on for like maybe a minute or two more, then it's a possibility we could have nicked the winner. But, you know, there was that foul by Hamer on what's his nuts. I can't even remember who it was, but he didn't like the thing is that Hamer didn't even touch the guy. Like, he backed into him a little bit going for the ball. That's a 50-50 ball, you know, and then the guy's play acting on the ground like Hamer booted him in the head, you know.
Ridiculous.
But and there was a handball in there, and he reached up and touches the ball. So
it is what it is. I mean, I said it while I was intoxicated. This is bullshit, and I'm surprised we didn't play on even longer to let Chelsea win.
I mean, you know, it's funny because this is the first time where, you know, there was a decent amount of stoppage, and you're wishing, oh man, I wish there was a little bit more stoppage here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe we could get a winner, you know? Yeah. Overall, I don't get this. BBC says Cameron Archer was the player of the match for, you know, as far as everyone was concerned. He came in a substitute appearance. Yeah, he had that headed on ball for McBurney, but he didn't make a lot of plays.
Yeah, he sucks too. He sucks too. He doesn't fit in our team. He does not fit in our team. I'm sorry, he didn't fit in our team. He doesn't suck, he just doesn't fit in our team.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to be 45, overweight, and fucking out of shape to play for Sheffield United.
With how we're set up, I kind of agree. Archer, you're right, doesn't really fit. Let's move on to Brentford here. First chance came to United in the 10th minute as a ball after a header by Anel de Holgate is cleared down pitch. Ben Brereton Diaz gets on it. He's off to the races. Down the left, he gets into the box, and then he just scuffs a shot right into Flecken. I mean, he has to do better there. He has to, right?
Yeah, yeah. It looked like he forgot how to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, he should have taken it from his left-hand foot or left foot, you know?
Yeah.
I say that a lot, left-hand foot.
Hand to foot.
A red half original right there. 13th minute, Roslev puts in a cross that Reguilon heads up and to the left and out of play. 22nd minute, Mopé with the pass to Yanelt, who has a shot from outside the box that Garbage saves relatively easily. I mean, really, you know, it's funny because in this game, you know, Garbage didn't really have a ton to do. There weren't any real testers in the first half for him. And for a good portion of the second half as well, you know, he just couldn't. I mean, really, the game was on that blaster own goal. You know, that was the whole ball game.
If that doesn't happen, I think it ends up 0-0.
Yeah, you're probably right. 23rd minute.
It was Bo Ring.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agreed. I mean, I was sat in the pub with Simon watching it. You know, Simon drove down from Fresno, And we were watching it and we were just like chatting for the majority of the time. We'd look up every once in a while and be like, oh, yep, there's another half chance that didn't really amount to nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, 23rd minute, Larucci ambles down the pitch on the left-hand side before slipping a pass for BBD just outside the box. Takes a touch to his right before having a shot that's about 3 yards wide to the right. So, I mean, look, a couple of testers here, but not much to speak of from United in throughout this game, really. 27th minute off a worked corner, something off the training ground here. Jensen finds Damsgaard in the box, who has a shot that goes high, wide and right. I mean, this was well worked, I thought, and you know, probably like 3 out of 10 times that's in the back of the net, you know, if you're conceding that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I don't know why we didn't have somebody man marking him, but it's probably because we don't have a good enough defensive core out there.
Yeah, they suck too.
31st minute, Reguilon on the right passes for Jensen about 26 yards out. He has a shot that dips, and ultimately it's easy enough again for garbage. 36th minute, giveaway by Anel in the defensive zone. I mean, it was a horrible pass. I don't know who he was looking for, but yeah, Bueno gets on it, puts it to Mope, threw in on goal, and he just fluffs his lines a little bit as garbage comes out, makes himself big, and he ends up putting it wide into the right, almost nicks the outside of the post. We get lucky there, but yeah, I mean, Anel is just, it's night and day, man. I do not see the player there that played for Sheffield United last season.
No, me either. He is, it's a 180. It's unbelievable.
Is it down to just this level? The fact that he, you know, we're not having a lot of the ball. You know, if we go down and hang on to him, do you think he turns it around next season?
He might.
Do you think we hang on to him?
No, I don't. I sure as God don't want to hang on to him. But the whole thing is we had the opportunity to sell him when we sold the other players at the beginning of the season. We didn't do that. So yeah. Now what are you going to? I mean, you're probably going to get less than what you paid for him, so you might as well hang on to him.
I think we only paid about £4 million for him.
Yeah, but you ain't going to get more than that.
Now, for a player with Prem experience, I think we get a little bit more. A little bit. Hopefully. I mean, we might as well just not sell him if we're going to take a loss on him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping. But the principal like, yeah, that's smart business. Take a loss. Yeah, we've been losing. We've been losing our ass for a long time.
Yeah.
At least we got our club back. And they're building the hotel. renovating it, I should say.
40th minute, Reguilon out on the left beats Bogle. He puts in a cross that Wissa gets ahead to, but it's caught again very easily by Garbage. Fairly few chances either way in the first half. You know, and look, I mean, we said it at half. It felt like there was a game there for the taking. Didn't turn out that way, but you know, it's. I mean, a couple of things go our way, and you know, maybe this is more of a game for the taking. First real chance of the second half came in the 54th minute as a free kick given to Brentford on the right hand side. The ball is put into the area, and then it's tapped into the back of the net by Jorgensen, but it's flagged offside, and that was just kind of a little bit of an early warning sign, you know, about what was to come, because there was another play that was basically very similar to that one, which we'll get to in a little bit. Then it was back and forth for about 15 minutes, no real shots to speak of. 63rd minute, United from the Brentford box have to run back down pitch as McBurnie had his shot blocked. Damsgaard gets on the ball. He runs a good 30 yards before taking the shot. That blaster deflects off the post and into the back of the net, 1-0 to Brentford. Blaster. Let's touch a little bit on Blaster. For as good as he's looked in a lot of the games that he started over the last month or so, had a little bit of a shocker here. Really, really not a great performance from him. Giving the ball away way too much. Trying some things that, you know, just didn't come off. And yeah, he's responsible for this goal. You know, he just has to deflect it anywhere other than right where he deflected, because it was a little bit of an awkward angle for Damsgaard, because he kind of, you know, was pushed into the left-hand side of the box. Yeah, ultimately it just nicks off of his foot and into the back of the net past Gerbich. Gerbich almost had it too, but he just couldn't react quickly enough, you know?
Own goal strikes again, man. I mean, yep. Hey, it is what it is. It seems yep. we love throwing the ball in our own net, and it is what it is.
65th.
Not going to be his first or his last, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hope it's his last. You hope he's good enough not to ever do it again.
Never know.
65th minute, McBurnie at the top of the box passes for Osborne. He puts in a cross, back right stick looking for Bogle, who heads it on frame, but Flecken makes an easy save. 68th minute, free kick given to Brentford on the right-hand side from their perspective. It's put into the box by Wemo, and a free Damsgaard hits it first time into the back of the net. Then good old VAR flashes on screen, overturned for a foul by Collins on McBurnie. You know, and on review, it's pretty clear that Collins like impedes McBurnie from making a play on Damsgaard. So rightly overturned. And, you know, that's the sort of call that like I was expecting us not to get, but yeah. Considering like we were like already down at this point, you know, and of course it didn't really end up mattering in the end. Right.
Yeah. I was going to say if this game was 0-0, it's a penalty or the goal counts. Yeah. It's there's nothing. It's waved off and the goal counts. I don't know why I said a penalty, but yeah, if we're down, if it's 0-0, the goal counts 100% of the time.
Yep. 73rd minute, Trusty puts in a cross for Bogle, who has a shot, but it's blocked by Regulon. 74th minute, Bogle goes down with a bad injury. Looks to be lower body injury. I think his right leg. I can't remember. But yeah, he really couldn't get off under his own power. It looks like his season and possibly United career may be over. I'm not sure if we're going to be re-signing him over the summer. He'll probably leave on a free. Archer comes on, and you know, at least with that substitution, you're thinking, we've decided to go for it, right? Right, Chad?
Yeah.
We have one more chance in the match. It comes in the 82nd minute as BBD puts in a cross for Archer, who has a shot that misses to the right.
Just kidding.
Yep. That was it for United. 68th minute, Yanelt passes for Keane Lewis Potter outside the box, who drives past McAtee before having a shot that's saved by Gerbich. And then it's Shad to Onyeka for the second goal for Brentford, and that is it. Yeah, didn't really have a man of the match in this one.
Nobody for me. Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was just kind of a crap match, you know?
It was boring.
Yeah,
it was boring. I literally went from sat in watching the first half being like, I've got to do something to keep myself entertained or I will sleep through the second half of this. Because I didn't do I wasn't able to do the watch along on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I literally plugged the TV in, missed about a quarter of the first half or second half. And I went out and I started washing my vehicle.
Yep. I don't blame you. I don't really blame you. So we move on. We got El Crapico this weekend. It's Burnley coming to Bramall Lane for a 3 p.m. BST? BST. Mm-hmm. Start time. And Burnley, the last five, they drew Brighton this past weekend at their place. They lost to Everton. They've had a couple of red cards in the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. O'Shea is not going to be eligible for this one, I don't think. And Assignon will be back, it looks like, because he picked up a red against Chelsea in their 2-2 draw. They've kind of not been on great form, but they are picking up some draws. Drew against Brighton, drew against Wolves, drew against Chelsea, beat Brentford, but Reguilon was flashed the red very, very early on. So, they were playing against 10-man Brentford for the majority of that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they'll probably line up, you have to imagine, pretty similar to how they lined up against Brighton, with the exception of Asignan. I can't pronounce that name.
Lorenz Asignan. Look, the asshole.
The asshole. Yeah. So he'll come back in. Our good old buddy Sandy Barge will probably be starting.
Sandy scored against his own goal last weekend. So.
Yep. Fofana. This is going to be
a disaster of a game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be probably really shit. There probably will be one odd goal in it. And I just hope it's us that gets the goal.
I don't think it'll be 5-0 to Burnley.
No. I don't think it'll be 5-2 either to us.
I hope it's a good advert for what we're going to see next year.
Yeah.
Back and forth, the championship atmosphere type game.
Yep. Who do you see starting for United, Chad? Who's going to play on the right? Who's going to play on the right? That's my question.
I have absolutely no idea. Who do we have?
I mean, if Furious George is not back, I don't think.
No, he's not.
Was Egan in training? He's back on the grass. Okay. But he's probably not at full contact yet.
Huh? No, he won't be. Basically, they're tempting you like he's going to play, and he probably won't play again the rest of the season. Unless the last home game, they trot him out here and be like, this is the last time you're going to see John Egan. So he's sayonara.
Yep. What a crazy day that'll be. And, you know, I'm sure Bash will come out last game as well.
Yep.
I hope he'll get a testimonial game. I really, really do.
You never know in this day and age. Oh, man. Honestly, I don't know how the hell we're going to line up. I just send out 11 players, don't give a shit where they play, and just put them out there.
Working your way from the striker position back, I mean, you know, McBurney, Ben Brereton-Diaz. Maybe we play a front three. Maybe we switch to a back four and play a front three. You know, go 4-3-3. Because I think we might have to play that way. I don't think we have the players to play five at the back, you know?
It's true. Oh, man.
I mean, I think it's probably Blaster, Hamer, and Souza in the middle, maybe. Yeah. Maybe McAtee instead of Souza if we want to go more attacking. And then maybe Osborne or Larucci on the left. Probably Larucci. I don't know if Benno will start again. I don't think he will. And then
thinking this out is tough.
Yeah, and then Robinson was injured also, right?
Yeah.
So Trusty, Anel, and then Holgate, and then no clue is going to be out on the right. Yeah, brutal.
Does the young boy, the young lad Sam Curtis, get his first start in a United shirt?
I don't know what accent was that.
I don't know. I saw his name come up as a Sam Curtis.
I guess it was kind of you were going for an Irish accent, which is apropos.
Sammy boy.
Curtis.
Sam Curtis and his ginger.
That was like a mix of Scottish and.
Oh, yeah. It was all over the place there. Eastern European. Western European.
Yeah. What about a score prediction from you, Chad?
Three, three, either 3-3 or 6-6.
Okay. All right. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a little tighter than that. I'm going to say 2-1 to United.
I was going to say, how do you get tighter than a 3-all or a 6-all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I said tighter, I mean, lower scoring, lower scoring. Yeah, 3-3 is, or 6-6 is about as tight as you can get it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring.
Please, God, don't have a 0-0 draw. Please, God, no. God, no. Please, God, no.
That would be the worst. Are you gonna do a watch along this Saturday?
I might. My schedule might have opened up on Saturday. I might be able to sneak one in. So yeah, look forward to coming up.
I think I'm going to join you on that one. We haven't done one together in a hot minute, so
we can watch shit together.
El Crapico
together.
Anything else before we get going here, Chato?
Burnley preview pod will be out. The dickheads from Manchester United won't answer anything, so doubt we'll have one from them. And then whoever we play after that will be up. There's only a few more left to dip your toes in the water in a preview pod.
Yep. Yep. And before we get going, we'll just drop the socials really quick. You can find me, Noah Snyder, at SunPuck on Instagram, at Nessman930 on Twitter. You can follow Chato at CJarvis_13 on all the socials. Please follow us everywhere at Red Half of Sheffield on Facebook, Red Half of Sheffield on YouTube, and at Red Sheffield on Twitter. So until we play Burnley at home this Saturday, up the Blades, Chad.
Up the Blades.
Come on, you red and white wizards.